Father in heaven, we bow our hearts before you, and we do truly just thank you that you are in control, that you can do all things, Lord, that you use, you move upon the hearts of your parts of the body, Lord, to encourage and to equip us and to hold us up when things are difficult. Lord, you give us little jewels as gifts, little things that just make our life brighter. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for all of those things. And Lord, now we just ask that you would really open up our hearts, open up our ears, Lord, to see your word, to hear your heart, Lord Jesus, that we might follow you with all of our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on Walking in Grace, week 7. Oh, and by the way, in case you're not on Facebook, little Keturah Paulette was born to Brandy Sorensen yesterday in the morning, 7 pounds, 13 ounces. So, Keturah is her name. All right, so in our lesson today, some questions just to get your blood pumping on the passage that we're in. Question number one, what does it mean to live a Spirit-led life? Number two, how do I live a Spirit-led life? And number three, what can I expect if I live a Spirit-led life? We were here 2 weeks ago, the last time we were in Galatians, and we kind of chose 5:1 as our theme verse for that lesson, which says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free." I think that NIV says it is for freedom that Christ has made us free. And so we realize we've been set free to live under the new covenant of grace, and we want to stay there, but then all of a sudden we realize, yikes, I'm free. That means, what am I going to do about my sinful nature? Right? And so now I think I would like to choose verse 16 for our theme verse today, which says, "Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature." I think I would choose that one to be kind of the theme for this. Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I think it's obvious to every person, Christians and non-Christians, that we need restraint in life. Obviously, that's why we make rules in society, right? We can all figure out that people will lie and cheat and steal and be selfish, and if they get desperate enough, even kill. And that's why we have laws in our society. And as Christians, we can name it the sinful nature. I think in modern culture, the modern woman might feel that people should be able to be kept in check through proper education and methods, and that that's how they can control themselves. I think the religious person among us would still believe that people need external rules, and that's how they are kept in control. But the Bible really teaches us that we are kept in control by yielding ourselves to the Spirit of Jesus that lives within us. And so it's an internal thing rather than an external thing that that helps us have power over sin. It's not methods or controlling the flesh or rules imposed from the outside, but really the love of Jesus on the inside, and gives us abundant life. I thought of that verse in John where Jesus said to his followers, you know, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." That's a really sweet verse. And I think in part really what he was talking about was kind of giving, leaning toward that time when he would go back with his Father, but the Spirit, his Spirit, would come and live with us. And that is what gives us abundant life, is the Spirit of Jesus. And I'm probably going to say the Spirit of Jesus a lot today rather than the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a great term. It's a biblical term, and that's super. I just feel like I want to say the Spirit of Jesus today. Maybe it's some of my charismatic underpinnings from the beginning, you know, 1983 when we first got saved, and there was adult Sunday school classes, and the only Sunday school class I ever went to was using a book called The Holy Spirit and You. And you should go find it. No, don't. Just don't. For a young woman, what was I, 22, Just, this was all a new experience. It was probably the worst possible Sunday school class I could have ever gone to. But God was gracious, and he taught us his ways outside of that. But I like to call it the Spirit of Jesus. Because, you know, from our littlest times, if you did grow up in a Christian family or in Sunday school, what do we say to little ones? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Well, that's really true. It is Jesus in our heart. It's the Spirit of Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit. And so, anyway, so now we who've gone through Galatians, we're fully convinced that the law counts for nothing. In verse 6, it said, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." And these final two chapters are really going to exhort us to yield ourselves to the work of the Spirit so that we can grow and mature and be God's ambassadors in this world. We want to be, I think all of us want to be God's representatives. We want people to see the Lord. But you know what? People don't see the Lord through election results. Even if it had gone the way we wanted it to, that's not how people see the Lord. People don't see the Lord through our religious activities. That's not how they see the Lord. People see the Lord through love. Faith expressing itself through love. That's why I was so thrilled with what Diane started. Isn't that cool? But I'm thinking of a verse in Hebrews. It's in, I think it's 12:15. And it says, "Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." Now that's something to think about, isn't it? Yeah. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So again, what is holiness? We've talked a lot this fall about holiness. It means to be set apart for a special use. Sanctified, right? Sanctification is a process we live our whole earthly lives through. And it is a process that we have to cooperate with. We cooperate by yielding ourselves to the work of God so that we become more holy, so that people will see the Lord. Without holiness, people will not see the Lord. Okay, so let's dive in to our verses for this week. We ended week 6 in Galatians 5:6, and I'm going to read that again. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And I want to suggest that that phrase, faith expressing itself through love, is another way of saying being led by the Spirit. Okay? We're going to skip verses 7 through 12 this morning in the interest of time. It's the first page of your study guide. You can enjoy it there. But I really want to pick up our text in verse 13. And so verse 13 says, "You, my brothers," for today, let's change it to sisters, okay? "You, my sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Okay, we've got three phrases there. You're called to be free. Don't use that freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, serve each other in love. Want to take that second, that middle phrase, want to pull it out. We're going to put it right up on the shelf, okay? So remind me that it's up there, and we'll pull it down a little bit later. You're called to be free because we have the Spirit of Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit living us. We're free on many levels. We have a freedom on many levels. But this passage for this week and next week, I think, is talking about three levels that we're free on. We are free to love, we're free from sin, and we are free to flourish. Okay, we're going to cover those first two today, and we'll do the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the flourishing. We'll do that next week. But we are free to love, to actually, as verse 13 says, serve one another in love. Faith expressing itself through love. Do you know that what my sinful nature wants? It's self-serving. My nature is extremely self-serving. It probably wants others to serve me in love, right? but now I have freedom from, with the Spirit of Jesus, to actually walk in that and serve others in love. I am free from sin. I am free, as verse 16 says, to not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Do you know what my nature wants to do? I want to do what verse 13 says. I want to indulge my sinful nature. But I have a freedom now because I have the Spirit of Jesus. If you don't have the Spirit of Jesus, you don't have that freedom to not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And of course, like we said, we're free to flourish, to produce the fruit of the Spirit, because my nature doesn't grow anything good. My nature is a consumer, not a producer, right? But now with the Spirit of Jesus, I have the freedom to begin to produce some fruit rather than always be consuming from others around me. Okay, so these are the things that we can walk in or live by if we are led by the Spirit. So what does it mean to be Spirit-led? If someone would say to you, you know, oh, she's really a Spirit-led woman, what image would you have in your mind of that? Well, because of my background or my travels in life, I would probably think some really strange things. Like I would think she's a girl that prays over every loaf of bread that she buys. You know, it's like I'm Spirit-led in, you know, this area. Or she's someone who's just driving around doing her errands and all of a sudden the Lord tells her to go visit the woman at Wellsprings in room number 5 on the left side and she's gonna, you know, pray. And, you know, or somebody that's running around saying, God has a message for you and this is what it is. So that's just kind of my background. I would think without looking into it that Spirit-led is kind of like, ooh, you know, kind of a thing. And you know, all of those things are fine. There's nothing wrong with praying about what bread to put in your cupboard. But that doesn't really define a Spirit-led life. Before we talk about a little bit further, there's some other things in the New Testament that elaborated on that same thing. Led by the Spirit is what we read in Galatians, but in Hebrews, walking by faith. In Ephesians, living a life of love. Again, in Galatians, faith expressing itself through love. Romans, the mind controlled by the Spirit. I love that one. That was our topic last night at the New Beginnings class, and I think that that's so critical. But no matter how you phrase it, the point is allowing the Holy Spirit to be in the lead in your life, because you know you have your sinful nature. You have the Spirit of Jesus. So it is taking a step back, yielding to the Spirit of Jesus to be in the lead in your life. I think Romans 8, 5 and 6 says it well. Those who live according to the sinful nature, I told you what my sinful nature wants, have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So we're free to do this now because we have the Spirit of Jesus. He's in control. He's in the lead, theoretically. And then we can serve one another in love. The next verse that Paul says here is the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so he uses Jesus' own words to solidify his argument. Jesus said that the whole law is summed up. Love your neighbor as yourself. But in contrast, here's what Paul had observed in the Galatian church. Verse 15. He observed them biting and devouring each other. Okay, that's a big contrast to these words of Jesus. So here's what we are free. We are free to serve one another in love. But what Paul saw was biting and devouring. I wonder why they were doing that. I have a theory that if you are like the modern woman who believes that you can control yourself by education and methods and self-control, or if you are like the religious woman that believes you can control yourself through rules, your relationship may end up more like the Galatians, biting and devouring each other. And here's why I think that. I've raised kids. Kids are watchdogs over their siblings. Right? Because you have rules in your house. And you have to. You have to have rules in your house. But all of a sudden, you hear somebody pipe up, Mom, he's not sweeping the way you taught us to. He's just putting the crumbs over there. He's not doing it right. The watchdog effect. Why is that? Well, it's because the rule came in an external way. It has to. They're children, they're under law. It has to be that way. I'm not suggesting that's a bad thing, but I'm saying, look at the fruit. If we don't grow up in our heart, if we don't grow up out of the rules, then look what happens to us. We become watchdogs. Right. She's not doing it right. She's not doing it the way that we're supposed to be doing it. And we begin biting and devouring one another. And Paul warns, he said, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. Paul says, I can see the outcome of this. I can see where this is going. You are going to destroy one another. Maybe some of you have been in a group, a Christian group, and you have felt that lack of love and that biting and devouring, and it eventually kind of unfolds and implodes. I guess those are opposites, but something bad happens. And I can't honestly say that I have been involved in a group like that, but I've talked with some women, I think of one in particular, and she was so sweet about it, looking back on a very rule-oriented Christian group that she was in. And she said to me, she's so sweet, she goes, Sue, there was such a lack of love. And that's going to be the outcome. And so Paul's talking about relational things here. This is what you can expect with that way of controlling. But rather, if we choose that third way of controlling our relationships, being led by the Spirit from within, the love from inside, serving one another in love, I don't think we're going to find those problems. I know we all still have sinful nature, but I don't think we're going to find that biting and devouring so that we're destroying each other. And again, we have another contrast. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. So I ask myself today, how can I build up the body? How can I serve someone in love? Maybe how can I extend grace to someone else? Maybe someone who doesn't deserve it? Because after all, that's the point of grace, right? It's undeserved favor or kindness shown to someone. So maybe those are good questions for us to kind of think about today. How can I fit into this and really do this? Because I'm free to now. I am free to do this. I have the power within me to do it by yielding to the Holy Spirit. All right, we're going to move on to the second freedom that the Holy Spirit gives us, and that is free from sin. I'm going to read verses 16 and 18, and then we're going to put them up on our shelf, okay? So 16 and 18 say, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Okay, so those two verses, they're going to go right up here next to our other verse on the shelf. And the reason is because we have to talk about sin a little bit, and I want to get it over with, and I want to come back to these and end on it, because you just don't want to end with like a list of debauchery and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So up on the shelf. So now let's go to 17 and 19, okay? And let's get this over with. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. That makes sense to us. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. The acts of the sinful nature, well, they're obvious. Things like sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Do you see why I didn't want to end on that? I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not enter the kingdom of God. So we read through a list like that, and I think we have one of two thoughts that go through our mind. Either we read through that list and we think, well, I haven't been drunk or involved in an adulterous affair, or practiced witchcraft, or I haven't been in a rage or an orgy for a really long time. So I'm doing good. And then, well, so what is that? That's just pride, right? Or the other thing that might happen is we read through it and we go, well, that's the bad list right there. I'll write it down, put it on the refrigerator. As long as I don't do the bad list, I'm okay. But then what did we do? We just made rules. And this whole Bible study is about walking in grace. And so we can't do that either. So what are we going to do, you know, to reconcile a list like that? Well, let's go back to the first thought, thinking, I haven't done these things in a long time. Okay, maybe I've never done these things, but whatever. There's a problem. There's a problem I can see with that thinking, and here it is. Up on our shelf is verse 13. Take verse 13, and let's bring it down here. It says, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Remember, we're free from sin. That's one of the freedoms the Spirit of Jesus gives us. And Paul says, do not use the freedom to indulge your sinful nature. And I'm going to jump right to 17 and read it with it. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. So don't indulge that sinful nature. Don't give it candy and encourage it, because it desires what's contrary to the Spirit of God. It's going to make your life more difficult. It's going to make yielding to the Spirit more difficult. It's going to make walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, more difficult if you indulge your sinful nature. Okay, so think about this. If you're cooking and the recipe says, do not let your milk boil. That's important, right? Mm-hmm. If you have freedom to let your milk boil. No one's going to come in and arrest you for doing that. However, your pudding or whatever you're making, you're not going to have the results that you intended. So the recipe says, do not let that happen. In the same way, if we want certain results from our spiritual life, Paul says, okay, do not indulge your sinful nature. Do you see how this is different than a rule? This is wisdom. Mm-hmm. We are free to indulge our sinful nature and still be a Christian, remember? Because sanctification has no bearing on justification. Do you remember that? So we can let our milk boil. We can indulge our sinful nature and still be loved by God, still be a Christian. But it's going to impair our sanctification. It's going to impair our holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So, not to be too heavy this morning, but I was thinking, post-election thinking, honestly, just this week, I feel like this one verse is maybe the biggest problem in our American Christian church lives. It's just that we just don't pay attention. We just don't pay attention to this part of the recipe that says, do not indulge the sinful nature. Some of the things that were listed in this, like let's just take sexual immorality. Let's just call it adultery here for a minute. From my perspective in life, a woman doesn't walk happily along day after day, year after year, and suddenly, one day, find herself in an adulterous affair. It doesn't happen that way. Permission is given over the course of your life. Permission to indulge the sinful nature in some very smaller way. Okay, so let's imagine that adultery is over there on the other side of the pond. We can put little stepping stones. We can start building a bridge in small ways by giving ourselves permission to indulge our sinful nature. When maybe the Spirit of Jesus inside is saying, mm-mm. But yet we want to watch that movie that portrays adultery, sexual immorality, and it desensitizes us. So we give ourselves permission. We let the milk boil, and we don't get the results that we want. Or we, you know, indulge in visiting with friends and complaining about our husband and listening to them recap our complaints, my complaints back to me and agreeing with me, and we've indulged our sinful nature, and we've put up a little more bridge. Or if we are in a workplace, we give ourselves permission to sit and visit with that man over lunch, day after day. And there's something inside, something back there that's saying, this isn't good. But we go, yeah, but it can't be. And so that's indulging the sinful nature. So that's why Paul says, do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. You're building bridges to those big things over there. And one day that bridge is going to be complete. We don't give ourselves over to drunkenness without permission to drink alcohol. I can give you a tip right there. You will never, ever get drunk if you don't drink alcohol. It's not a bad thing to live by. Or how about rage? You know what? We don't fly into a rage suddenly and randomly. There's little permissions given to be angry with our children, to be frustrated with situations. And so, you know, our lives are lived out in all those small moments. So that's the exhortation. James says it in chapter 1, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So we're exhorted not to indulge our sinful nature. And I think that that's such a good, I'm so happy to finally get to this point about in Galatians, because, you know, all this walking in grace, 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 a person could kind of tend to think, oh, it's all good. Everything's good. God loves me no matter. Well, it's true. He does. But the stern warning to us, do not abuse that. Do not. If you can just remember two words, do not. You know, and I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, seriously, in this whole room, we all probably have very different little buttons. Things that are, you know, and so we need to ask the Lord and be really honest with yourself. What are my weaknesses? Where does my weakness lie? And those are the things that we need to be careful not to indulge in. Okay, enough about that. Okay, so we left these other two verses up on the shelf. Let's pull them down, 16 and 18. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. In your study guide, I put a quote from Warren Wiersbe, and I just want to read that because I think it's so good to answer the question, how do I yield my flesh to the Spirit of Jesus? Warren Wiersbe says, the solution is not to pit our will against the flesh, but to surrender our will. Let's read that again. I'll wait until all the pages are done turning. The solution is not to pit our will against the flesh, but to surrender our will to the Holy Spirit. This verse literally means, if you are willingly led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The Holy Spirit writes God's law on our hearts. So I brought a visual illustration with me. Well, where did they go? Did anybody see my two little cars here?
Your what?
Two little cars?
Cars?
Oh. Well, they're here.
Somebody said
they're here. Somebody came and played with them. We're playing with cars. Okay, so Tim has his driver's permit, so we're doing, I'm on the last one, woohoo! So, you know, all these uncontrolled intersections we have in Ontario, we have all these conversations about who has the right of way, who needs to yield, right? So I'm focused on this word yielding. So in my mind, this makes sense, that I get up in the morning and I've got two cars at the intersection of my day. Do you know they both can't be in the lead? It's impossible, right? Okay, one is going this way and one is going this way. They both can't take off and be in the lead. We'll have a crash. Somebody has to be in the lead. And so I need to make a choice as I start my day. Lord, I willingly submit myself to you. Would you be in the lead? And I'll follow. It just makes sense to me. And that's why in the study guide I had, there was one question that said, write out a one-sentence prayer. I remember reading Elizabeth Elliot's one-sentence prayer one time, and I didn't know what book it was in. I didn't want to take the time to find it, but it went something like this. She encouraged, Lord, I willingly put myself completely at your disposal today. But whatever makes sense to you, I think, you know, for the next couple weeks, or I don't know, maybe for life, that can go a long way, is finding something, some communication with the Lord, that every morning you say, here I am, sinful nature, spirit of Jesus. Who's in control? Who gets to be in the lead? Because, you know, we can still be Christians and we can be in the lead. God will let us do that. And he does not erase our justification just because we choose to do that. But we were not going to get the results that we want. And we won't be more holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And so we become less effective in God's kingdom. So I thought of just a few things to close as far as being led by the Spirit. Obviously, this is choir preaching here because you are in the Word, be in the Word, and know God's heart. Living it out is not a matter of information. I have never met someone who has fallen into an affair and said, oh, I didn't know that wasn't in the Bible. It's a matter of desiring to please God. You know, nonetheless, being in the Word encourages our faith. It builds us up. Fellowship with others who have a desire to please the Lord. I thought of this one. This isn't the Bible. This is Jiminy Cricket. Let your conscience be your guide. And you know what? That really, I've really been thinking about that this week. When it says, do not indulge your sinful nature. Your conscience, which is the Holy Spirit within you. That little voice, it's saying something. It's telling you. And you know what? It could be very different for different ones because we have different buttons, different weaknesses. And one woman does not dare have an alcoholic drink. It just needs to be on the crossed off list. Never, no way. Somebody else, that's not the button. That's not the issue. But let your conscience be your guide. Let the Holy Spirit speak. The Word tells us we can sear our consciences by saying no, by ignoring it. And then that voice gets more and more distant because we've made that choice. And then the other one was just that choose something to communicate with the Lord each day about inviting him to be in the lead, that lead role. So the last question was, what can I expect when I lead a Spirit-filled life? And that one we're going to answer next week with the fruits of the Spirit. We are free to flourish. So let's pray and discuss. Father in heaven, you know our hearts. You know our frailties. You know our weaknesses. Lord, it's with fear and trembling that we even utter these words about not indulging our sinful nature. Because, Lord, you know how easy that is for us. But, Lord, we have a hidden power, hidden strength in you. And that's what we ask for. We ask for your strength to be upon us, Lord. We ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to be in the lead in our lives today, that we might be led by you. Because if we're led by you, then we're not going to gratify our sinful nature. And Lord, if we're led by you, then we are free to love others. We are free to serve each other in love. Lord, would you just take all of these things in our heart and stir them around. And Lord, bring to the top what you want each one of us to think about, to focus on, and to carry through in our day to day, in our next week. Lord, may we be women who are set apart, women who are holy, so that through our holiness, people will see you. People will be drawn to you, Lord. Lord, thank you for this day, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.